Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well today.
This is the day that the Lord has made. day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Good morning, everybody. I was reminded this morning by Philip, Brother Philip, that is. Remember where you came from. Remember what the Lord's done for you, and remember where you came from. I'd prefer not to remember that. I prefer not to remember the ugliness, the finding out that everything that I had ever thought was good about me wasn't. Finding out that everything that I thought I believed about myself was not true, and in fact it was the complete opposite. Where I thought I was humble, I was prideful. But it's a beautiful thing when you look back at where the Lord's brought you from. Because the scriptures that the Lord has used in my life, the scriptures that when I was in the muckety muck and could not see a way out, he gave me Romans 7 and 8. If I'd just quit in Romans 7, I may have quit. But he gave us Romans 8 too. I'll just read a few verses that really stood out to me as I was struggling in the beginning of my walk and that I go back to regularly when I struggle. Gee, it's such a great chapter. I'm not even sure where I should start. Let's start with verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that led me to John 3:16. Actually, go back to 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is good to remember where you come from. It is good to remember who you are in your flesh, but it is even more important to know who Jesus Christ is and what you can overcome in him, through him, by his faith. He is an awesome God, and he can get you through. He continues to get me through. It's not like, oh wow, Sue got through that, now she walks perfectly. No, I don't. Anyone who knows me can tell you, no, I don't. But I have a hope now, because he got me through once. And I've observed him get others through. So I know he can do it again and again as long as I keep turning my eyes back on him.
child. Your grace abounds to me. Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds. My glory, lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory, lifter of my head. Me, you're my glory, lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, you're my glory, lifter of my head. And bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. God, and we are the children of his pasture and the sheep of his hand and the sheep of his hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For he God. And we are the children of his pasture and the sheep of his hand and the sheep of his hand.
Good morning, everybody. Sue is reading over there in Romans 7 and 8. There's something interesting about that passage, which I don't know is really focused on enough. I mean, I've heard us focus on it, and I mean us as a ministry. But it's really Paul's perspective of his carnal nature and how desperately he wanted to be separated from it. He didn't make, how can I put it? He didn't make excuse for that as if it was okay to be agreeing with it. He desperately, desperately, desperately wanted to be separate from it. He likened his old man and his old nature to a practice that was performed if they really, 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 really hated you and wanted to kill you, they'd strap you face to face, hand to hand, to a dead body and let its disease and decay kill you. And that was the image that Paul wanted to get across about how he felt about his carnal man. So when Paul is going through this, he is in a state of desperation. It's not something he took lightly. It's not a flippant thing. It was something that he was in a state of utter desperation at the end of his rope, was not even, had no idea how he was going to continue on. He was so wanting to be delivered. And then the Lord gave him deliverance. Ultimately, we will be delivered from this nature when we die. And that which is corruptible gets cast off and we put on incorruptible. The thing that Paul realized in that was that he didn't have to wait to walk in that, however. By faith, by the power of Jesus, by his sacrifice, but by what he had done, he didn't have to be ruled and be subject by that carnal man. Jesus, what he had done, what he accomplished, set Paul at liberty. He said, with my mind, I serve the law of God, and with my flesh, the law of sin. And he goes on and he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hopefully I got that close enough. That is a great deliverance. When I think about that deliverance and I think about Jesus' sacrifice, at least now, in my walk with the Lord, I am humbled and I am grateful. There was a time where I didn't understand it. I'm not going to even claim that I have complete and total understanding of it now, because every day the Lord shows me something else where his grace has been sufficient and I am yet again thankful and humbled and repentant. But I am grateful and I am humbled. I'm going to divert just a moment here for a minute, and hopefully this will all come back around. There's a lot of folks in our fellowship that have some military experience. Whether they were personally in the military or know those that were in the military, there's a good number of folks that have that frame of reference, we'll call it. And gosh, I think we've all seen stuff on TV or movies or whatever, but there's an offense that it can get you kicked out. It can get you flat booted from the military, and that offense is insubordination. Now, insubordination is to simply have a rebellious attitude towards your commander. To disrespect them, to disregard them. To not demonstrate an appropriate measure of reverence and respect to the position. There's a story Brother Davey tells, and I'm going to try and relay it. I hope I get this right. So this junior goes to a sergeant, and he says, "Sergeant, if I were to call you a jerk, that would be insubordinate." Sergeant said, "Yes." I'm changing the language here, as you can imagine. "Now, Sergeant, if I just thought you were a jerk, would that be insubordinate?" "No, if you just thought it and didn't say it, that would not be insubordination." "All right, Sergeant, I think you're a jerk." You get the thing there? It was supposed to be somewhat of a joke. The inference was that if he holds it in and doesn't say anything, that's not insubordination. It doesn't work that way with the body of Christ. Because God sees your heart. See, God sees what's on the inside. If you read through Scripture, how many times does it say he perceived what was in their heart, or some frame, some reference of that, or some sort of fashion of that? He knew what was in their heart. He knew what they were thinking. And you know what? He then addressed it. So you cannot hide spiritual insubordination from God. Just because you don't say it doesn't mean you aren't. And that is an offense that God will not tolerate. See, he already had that once. He already had that. That was the offense of Lucifer. Because at the heart of insubordination is the belief that you know better or are better or can do better than that person that is over you. Philip was talking about high-mindedness. I didn't hear all of his service, but, you know, I heard that word come out many times, and it's been a word that's been, well, it's been on my heart. See, that sense of high-mindedness will let you think that it's okay to think better of yourself and better of those that God has put over you. If that which is natural, i.e. the military, will not stand for it, how much more God? Now let me loop this back around. The very one that paid the price for you to be free, does he deserve that kind of attitude from you? Because whether you realize it or not, when you have that mindset, when you have that attitude towards anyone that is his, you have it to him. Doesn't he say to his disciples, "As they do it to you, they've done it unto me"? Isn't that what he says? This type of behavior is unacceptable in any fashion. In any way. It's just not acceptable. And it's not right. And And whether you realize it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, whether you want to see it or not, it shines a huge spotlight on where your heart is. You know, I was reminded, as I was thinking about this, of another passage, also in Romans. So this is Romans 13. We all know it, right? We all have read it together, and we've studied it together. We know that it deals with not civil authority, but it deals with church authority. So let's look at this. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. This is dealing with that man or woman in front of you that is your authority in the Lord. That is who this is talking about, and it's addressing you and how you should be to them. It says, be subject to them. Now, those that have children, do you expect your children to be subject to you? Do you expect them to obey you? Do you expect them to respect you? How do you take it when your child is disrespectful? Are you happy about it? Do you throw them a party? Or does it anger you? Does it frustrate you? Probably on many levels. For me, it's frustrating on many levels because, one, I just get angry and I'm offended. On the other side, I also know that if this doesn't get nipped in the bud in her future, this is going to cause her a lot of problems with her walk with the Lord and just in general. No, it's not a good thing, is it? It's not a good thing. Let me show you how much of not a good thing it is. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. I want you to think about the severity of that for just a moment. If this be true, and it be referring to not civil authority, because we know it isn't, it doesn't make any sense that it would. It's dealing with church authority. It says here in this passage, whether you like it or not, right here it says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. The same God that hung on a cross for you and made a way for you to be free is this very same God you are resisting when you resist his line of authority. Now, what happens in the military with insubordination? You get court-martialed, you get ejected, and you get a dishonorable discharge. Is that not the way it works? Maybe somebody in the chat can tell me, am I right? I've never been in the military. I believe that's how it works. It's much more serious when you're dealing with it within the body of Christ. Because it's not just you get told to go to another church, is it? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves what? Damnation. I go back to the conference this last year, and the very first message, y'all remember the very first message? It was about playing games. Do you remember? Playing games. This is not a game. The things that we have been tasked to do by our Heavenly Father and those that He has put over us, it's not a game. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not a joke. To disrespect that, to dishonor that, to have a heart of rebellion, because that's what insubordination is. It's a heart of pride and rebellion and high-mindedness. To walk in that. Do you think for one tiny, teeny little second that God is going to allow that in His kingdom ever again? Now you can think, Oh, grace is going to cover me. Just, that's so wonderful. I mean, that's going to be between you and God. God's grace does cover. But it also says to ask forgiveness. Doesn't it? If you sin, go to the Father, ask forgiveness, and He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't it say that? Doesn't Paul demonstrate in 7 an earnest desire in a state of crisis over his nature? Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace abound? God forbid. Should you continue in unbelief? Should you continue living subject to that which God has set you at liberty from? Should you continue to hold on to that which God has said put off? Put off the old man. Put off the old nature. Put on the mind of Christ. I don't think Christ was ever insubordinate to his heavenly Father. I don't think he ever argued with him. I don't think he ever put him off or made light of his direction. I want, and I believe you want, to have a successful walk, a profitable walk, one that brings glory to God. Amen? I want that, and I believe you want that. But you can't have that. You can't have that if you're of a mind to do your own thing and stay justified in it. You just can't. It won't work. I hope. Gosh, I see so much potential on so many fronts for what could be accomplished if only people would get out of their own way. If only you get out of your own way. Now you can do a couple different things with this. You can justify yourself. You can say, who does Rick think he is? Well, guess what, guys? The reason I can see it, I think I said the other day, if there was a doctorate to be had in frowardness, I probably have that and several more. But I am ashamed of that. I am ashamed that I was ever that way. And I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and He has. And I don't have to be that way anymore. So you can look at it several different ways. You can justify yourself. You can point the finger. Or you can take truth for what it is. And here's the beautiful thing. Go over to 1 John. I do love this chapter. Verse 4. 1 John chapter 1. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Back in that first chapter, it talks about asking forgiveness. Confessing your sins. To a priest? No, to Jesus, to God. And he's what? Holds it over you for all eternity? No. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. See, we can't cleanse ourselves. And that was Paul's big hang-up back in 7, believe it or not, is he was trying to cleanse himself and it could not be done. That was the miracle of what God showed him, is that you can't clean yourself. I have already made a way for you to be clean. Simply accept my way. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is standing there ready to cleanse you. Do you hear that? He is standing there ready to take all the past, all the bad, all the negative, and wash it away through his blood. Confess your sins. Be free. Confessing your sins is not, well, if, Lord, I've done something to offend you. No, that's not a confession. I do love the apologies that you get sometimes. Well, if I've said anything to offend you, I'm really sorry. That's not an apology. It's like, God, I have utterly offended you, and I am not worth, I am guilty. That's an apology. I am guilty. I confess my fault. Please forgive me. That's a confession. Confession is a complete and total admittance of guilt without reservation. The beauty is, the miracle is, he'll forgive us. He'll forgive you. And he will cleanse you. Wash clean. How beautiful is that? Messed up those chords. Let me try that again.
A fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Away, but there's something about that name. The sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up higher and higher, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up higher and higher, and He shall lift you up unto the heavens, and He in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up higher and higher, and He shall lift you up unto the heaven, and He shall
Thank you for listening.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.